here for it, but we talked about what's happened in the Supreme Court, some of the cool decisions that have come down. I mean, God's starting to turn things around. Regardless of what they say on the news, we don't need to be listening to that news, really, you know. But we need to be listening to the good news, and we need to hear from God. And so the Holy Spirit spoke to me this week, and he said, just build on last week. But it's going to be a little different. But we're going to talk about freedom. Is that okay? How many know the Bible says for freedom you've been set free, right? Okay. So anyway, we're ready to go. We're going to read we'll have it up there. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37 and 39. And I say, the word tells us we are debtors to share the gospel with people, even if they don't receive it. All right? So let's see what it says. It says, he who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Check out what it says, and we're not going to do it now, but check out what it says in Mark. How many know Jesus, he loved to use the shock value sometimes. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Cross is the thing God's given to you, your ministry. All right? And we need to take it up every day. And what if people reject me? Well, they will. That's why it's the cross, right? But you're not doing it for yourself, but you're doing it as unto the Lord, okay? And he who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. How many vote for the latter? Right? Right. How many are ready to do, if he gives you the grace to do it, and he will, how many of you are ready to follow him wherever he takes you? Praise the Lord. That's the right answer. That's the right answer. Okay, I'm going to give you a couple of examples here in just a minute. So we owe people the opportunity for the power of God to change them. And it's only the power of God that will change them. Let's look at Acts 10, 42 through 44. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive the remission of sins. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all those who heard the word. You know, Peter had an argument with God because of food, right? Oh, we don't deal with the Gentiles, man. They got a different diet than we do. Remember that scripture over in Acts? You know? I love God because he just kind of ignores you, you know. He says, go and do what I told you, right? I will confirm the word. And so he confirmed it beautifully, and it opened the doors for the Gentiles to be saved. And it was just the start. It was just the beginning. And so I'm looking at you, and we owe Peter a debt, but mainly we owe the Lord because of what he's done. And these are exciting days. One of the guys that God had called me into the ministry, I didn't realize all that it would entail. I had a good friend in college. I didn't think anything would amount. He would amount to anything, really, because yeah, I got to tell you this story. We went to Wittenberg University. He was like 6'3", 6'4", about 220 pounds. You wouldn't want to mess with a guy, right? And we had to wear these beanies. We decided, I don't think we're going to wear them, you know? Because the upper class would come by and paint your nose green or try to if you didn't have these beanies on, right? So my friend John and I, you know, we used to hang out, go to class together, and he'd say, Dave, what do you say we just ditched the beanies today? Well, we got stopped a few times by people and went, where's your beanie? He says, we're not wearing them. You got an issue with that? Come on. Well, they went, see you. See you later. But John, he was a tough dude. and eventually flunked out of school. I remember taking him home for Thanksgiving, dropping him off at his house in Madison, New Jersey, and his parents, they were, oh, thank you, Dave, for bringing him home from Ohio. And we talked for a little bit. And the parents say, well, what do you, John, he's still making up his mind what he's supposed to do with his life. What are you going to do with your life? And I said, I'm going to serve God. I have a calling on my life. I knew it by that time. And they, usually you think adults are going to be pretty nice to you. They weren't. They said, get out of here. It's not like, oh, get out of here. No, no, get out of here. You know, you fool. That's what they told him. You stupid fool. Thanks for the encouragement, guys. You know, I mean, you got to have a little sense of humor going on. You got to have, you know. And John's looking at me like, I apologize, Dave. I apologize to you. But you know what? And I did not hear from him for years. 1 year ago, I got a phone call from him. He said, do you remember me? I said, of course I remember you. He said, well, I got to tell you. He said, I've been in the Vietnam War. He said, I've been promoted in the military, a high rank. He said, I think he had several Silver Stars. And he said, you know, I want you to know that I'm plugged in with the Lord. Wow. And I just felt God wanted me to call you and tell you, thank you, you know, after all those years. I went, wow. Well, I'm glad you made it through the war and all that other stuff. You know, and your parent, no, I didn't say that. You know. But you never know. I had another guy in college. His first name was Lance, and he was a married guy. He was in the military as well. And he and I, we were in the same fraternity. He was a senior when I was a freshman, and we were poker buddies. We used to play a lot of poker, and he was like a partner, you know. And he said, Brother Dave, what were you doing back in those days? How many of you have had a dramatic conversion? Huh? Well, I had one, big time, where people, we don't believe this, really, it really happened to you. You were such a jerk. You were an evil guy. But how many know, but God? Everybody say, but God. And so I was telling, Ina and I were downtown with Michael Green and his family, and we were down in the French Quarter. We were showing Ina the French Quarter and all that. And Ina and I we weren't quite married. We were engaged. We were a month or two off from being married. And so all of a sudden, this guy comes bounding down the street. I think we were in Bourbon Street, one of those places. And Michael Green, who is over right next to me, looks over like, who is this guy? He's coming right at us. Like he's going to jump on us. And I told him, I said, it's a good thing you didn't hit him or anything. I said, he was Green Beret. I said, you just a good thing, you know. So he comes up, Dave Newell, what are you doing here? I said, well, I'm living here now, and this is my fiance. Well, he said, you have to come and have dinner with my wife and I. When can you come on Friday or whatever it was? I said, yeah, well, just give us the address. We'll be there, you know. So Ina and I show up. We had a nice meal. Until, everybody say until. He said, because we were talking, you know, about our past and all that kind of stuff. But then he says, well, what are you doing here? And how did you guys meet each other and everything? I said, well, we are actually pastors now. I said, we're not married yet, but I said, we're close to it. And that's what she's going to be. And that's what I am. And I've been in the ministry now for about a year here in New Orleans. Total change in the environment. You know, just whoa. And he said, you're going to have to leave. You're going to have to leave. He said, you fool. And he looked at Ina and he said, I know him. He said, I know this guy. He said, he probably brainwashed you. She said, no, I was saved before he was. Yay, Ina. And She said, I was filled with the Holy Ghost a year before. Yeah, Anna. Yeah. We're being polite. He did. He said, get out. Okay. How many know you win some, you lose some, right? I mean, it's just the way it is. But you have to be willing to put the relationship that you have with Jesus as number one. Amen. Number one. Amen. You will be tested, and I guarantee you. As a man said in the South, I guarantee. All right. So these are, and you know, I never heard from Lance after that, like I did John. But you just don't know. You let your light shine, and you do what you have to do, and leave the rest up to the Lord. Can you say amen? But you have to put God first. You know, I have to say, since I put my hand in the plow, I never turned back. This is my 57th year serving God. I started at 3 years old. No, I was. But I don't regret a thing, especially as I get older. Whew. And I thank God for that lady. Wow. Couldn't have done it without her. Wow. Okay. Number two, God's love for us is stronger than our fear of rejection. I love the scripture in 2 Timothy 1:7. Let's just take a look at it. Yeah, we'll get it. We be getting it. There we go. For God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power and love and a sound mind. Say, that's me. That's a great life verse, by the way. That's a great three-point sermon, by the way. We're not going to go there, but God has not given. Say, God has not given me the spirit of fear or timidity, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So, yeah, there's going to be rejection, but who cares? In light of eternity, doesn't matter. So God's love for us is stronger than our fear of rejection, found in 2 Timothy 1:7, his love. It is only when we know the truth and continue in the truth are we his disciples. John 8:31 and 32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in me, that means you remain in me. If you abide in me, in my word, you are my disciples indeed. How many know he says his word? Everybody say his word. The Bible says God puts the word above his name. That's heavy. We'll talk about that in a little bit, I guess. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But it's as we abide, as we continue. How many of you have found that in your walk with the Lord, as you've continued in him, certain things that you believed at one time, you don't believe anymore, and they just kind of dropped off you, right? And the Holy Spirit graciously has done that for us, right? And so, but we need to really have the word, the truth of God in our hearts. Lean over and tell your neighbor he's talking to you. We need to have the word in our hearts so that we can give an answer to people when we talk to them, right? I got a phone call. This is years and years ago when I was in New Orleans, and got a phone call from my dad, and he said, you expect a call from this man, and he told me his name. He said, he's a good friend of mine. And he's concerned about a young man that's actually living in New Orleans, and he wants you to hook up with this young man. And so I said, sure. So I got a call the next day from this guy, and he said, you know, I'm really concerned about him. Said he's a student in Tulane. I guess he's doing very well, but he doesn't know the Lord. I've talked to him a little bit about the Lord before he left for school. And he didn't make any comments. And he said, it would be wonderful if you could reach out to him. And he gave me his name and telephone number. And I called the young man and I said, hey, how'd you like, are you free Saturday? We'll go out and get some lunch and my treat. And he said, yeah, I can do that. I said, where would you like to meet? Near your school. And he told me. So I met him for lunch on that Saturday. And we had a really good fellowship. We had a really good time. And we talked. And then I gave him my testimony. Told him what had happened in my life. And he was very polite. And he listened to me. And he said to me, well, that's good for you. But he said, see, I don't really need God. He said, see, I've got full scholarship. 4 years. Like, I'm a smart man. You know? But he said, you know, I've got everything I need. I've got the finances to, I have a full ride here. But I appreciate you taking time to share with me. I said, I'm going to make a commitment to you. Something rose up on the inside of me, man. Something rose up, and I said, I'm going to make a real commitment to you. He said, yeah, what is it? Yeah. I said, I'm going to pray that God will remove all that stuff. Take away the thing that's hindering you from coming to Christ. You know, you're depending on your finances and your full ride and all that kind of thing for 4 years. But I said, what if that was removed? If God knew that by the removal of it, you would now be open to the gospel. He said, oh, please don't do that. I said, bro, I am committed. Have a good day. I got your name. I know exactly how to pray for you. And it's no mistake that we had a good meeting here today. Please don't. I said, love you. Bless you. So, did you pray? Yeah, I prayed God remove that. Never heard from him, but hey. Okay. Number three, our testimony should include the full gospel's impact on our lives. Not only the forgiveness of sins by the blood of Jesus, all right, but healing, that's the filling, healing for our body. Let's look at 1 Peter. Chapter 2, verse 24. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you what? Past tense, you were healed. Tell your neighbor, you were healed. Whatever it is you're going through, you were healed already. Praise God. That's got to be our testimony. We have to agree with the Holy Spirit. We have to agree with the Word of God. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, tell you, neighbor, I'm dead to sin. It's by his blood. Might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Okay, so there's healing for the body. And I'm going to go and look at a few of these other scriptures also. There's redemption from poverty. I love that. But it's not just salvation. Of your soul, of your spirit, but it's also healing for your body. I got thinking about this when I was preparing for the message. Years ago, it was when we came to the city to plant the church. The Lord gave me an opportunity. There was, I want to see how I want to phrase this. In 1997, when we came here, I got a phone call. We came here actually to, we met in, I think it was the Holiday Inn over in the Durham area. That's where we met. And we just put the word out. Tim, Paula, Pritchard were one of the first people here that met with us. And there turned out to be about 30 people at this meeting. And it just worked perfectly because when was that? I know, was it July? I think it was July of 97. June or July, one of those. No, June. It was in June. And so I got a phone call from Guidepost Magazine. This was in I think, February of 97, a few months before we came down here. We knew we were going to be coming down here. We had that clear enough direction at that particular time. And so I got a phone call from this guy from Guidepost, and he said, I want to call you to check on a testimony that we're going to probably publish in our May issue of Guidepost. He said, do you remember a fella named David Westerfield? And I went, yes. He claims that you pastored him for a couple of years in Shreveport. I said, yep. And he said, well, he claims that he submitted an article to us saying that you had come to pray for him. And actually, Ina and I had gone to pray for him many times. But he had, I would say it was like cancer of the brain, where he was so sick he couldn't even sit up. All he could do is lay down. So when we saw him in the hospital, that's the way he was. He was a feature writer for the Shreveport Times. That was his job. And the guy said, he submitted this article that said, you came into his room and laid hands on him and he was healed. Did that happen? I said, yeah, it did happen. Exactly. He said, well, we want to publish his article in the May issue of Guidepost. And I said, okay, would you send me a lot of them? How many would you like, sir? At least 30. It was that guy's testimony that literally helped birth the church. Because, you know, they didn't know us from Adam when we came in. We did a series on learning here from God, and we came twice. And I think the first time we came with these, you know, these magazines, small little magazines, Guideposts. And his article was in there. And we gave them out to everybody just to let them know, hey, we're not just fly-by-nighters. We actually pastored, this actually happened, and God can do this for you. And so that literally opened the door for the birth of this place. It was a healing testimony because we believe that God still heals today, you know? And how many do as well? You all absolutely do. So that was pretty cool. We really thought that was a neat thing that happened. And then redemption from poverty. God wants you free from poverty. Malachi 3:10, let's look at that. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and try me, or literally prove me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. He didn't say that any other place in the Bible. Prove me or try me in this, with your money, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven, pour out for you such a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. How many know that's true then, it's true now? Absolutely. And then I love 2 Corinthians 9 and 10. I love, that's a great verse. I got a little testimony for you. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply. Is that word in your Bible? Multiply? Yeah, I guess it is. Multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So God's just waiting on us. And I want to thank you for your generosity. You're very generous people. And years ago, Ina and I had just been married, and we were married in 1970. And then in 1971, we went up to hang out with my parents in New Jersey. And I remember we were so bored going up there. There was nothing to do. She and I were, our blood pressure at the time was 90 over 70. I mean, we were working all the time, around the clock, you know. And so we were, and this is in New Orleans, we literally would go out for a walk and we would cry, you know, we're so bored. We love my parents. We love them. But we were so geared at that particular time. I mean, no, we needed to slow down a little bit. It was important that we slow down a little bit, right? You can get into a rut and not even know it, right? So, anyway, Ina and my mom were cooking in the kitchen, and my dad said, I asked my father, I said, Pop, how are you? How are things in the market? I had worked with my father 1964-65 on Wall Street. He was a very successful broker. And I said, how are things going for you in the market? He says, not good. The Holy Spirit spoke to me. I said, can I ask you a question, Dad? I don't want to be a wise guy, but when did you stop tithing? He went, how did you know? I said, I didn't, except because you have been a tither for all these years, God has blessed you phenomenally. And he had. And he said, I said, I'm a tither because of your testimony. I saw God move in your life and the life of my mom. Now I said, and then the Holy Spirit, that was a word of knowledge, and then the Holy Spirit gave me a word of wisdom. I said, can I give you a word of wisdom? And he said, yeah. You know. He said, I told him, I said, I'm going to tell you why you stopped. He said, yeah, I'd like to know why I stopped. I said, because you're in a dead church, that's why. All right? And I said, you're not being fed there. He went, my dad's a very honest man. He went, you know, I think you're really right. I think you're right. I think you put your finger on something. I said, look, there is a Presbyterian church close by, and they're evangelistic. They're on fire. I know the pastor. He's an awesome guy. His name is Don Pepper. Don Pepper was a wonderful man. Eventually, he got his doctorate, and we call him Dr. Pepper. You know, seriously, that's right. But, you know, we came back a year later, and my dad was in that church. Dad and mom, they moved over there. They loved it. They were tithing again, and God was blessing them financially through the market. So how many know it'll work for you? It'll work. Lean over and tell your neighbor it'll work for you. As you put him first. Amen, amen. Okay. All right, number four. Some people have actually stated that while they love the Lord, they did not love his word. John 1, 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word. Who is that? Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the what? Light of men. And the light shines in the darkness. The darkness did not comprehend it. Things haven't changed. All right, so Andrew Womack tells this story. It was just recent. He said he had a lady that had come to his Bible school. She got saved in his ministry and then went to the Bible school. She was a radical pro-abortion person. And that didn't change for a long time until she was exposed to the Word of God. And then she changed her heart and her mind. And Andrew said, could I talk with you? He said, you know, there's been some radical changes taking place in your life. And he said, what was the issue? She said, the issue was this. She was very honest with him. The issue was, I love God, but I didn't love his word. How many know? I believe there are a lot of folks like that. Really. That's why we can't write people off. Can't write them off. Got to love them, you know. But there are a lot of people like that. And she had a radical change because she not only had fallen in love with what? With Jesus, but she now loved his word, right? So the more we love his word, the more the change will come in our lives, all right? Number five, we are not only to love people, but note what the Lord tells us, how we should respond to them. Tell them the truth. Lean over and tell your neighbor, you got to tell them the truth. What if they don't like me? Well, they may not. But who do you love more? Right? So, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 17. I got another story. You shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason with your neighbor, lest you bear sin because of him. In other words, we got to tell them the truth, right? Come, let us reason together. Let's talk this out. The thing you're doing is leading you to destruction. It's not working for you. Is it working for you? No, it isn't. There is a better way. Can I tell you how my life was changed? That's a good way to do it. You know, I love you too much to let you just go. Got to tell you the truth. Got to tell you the way it is. This is a really wild story. But I like wild stories. I'm in the library at Princeton Seminary. And I don't know, I'm second year there or something. It was open till 10. It's 9:30. I've studied enough. I put my books, closed the books, put my head on the desk. I said, Lord, you got anything for me? He said, yeah. He said, yeah, go to the back of the library. There's two people talking. I want you to leave with them. Oh. Okay. I walk back. I don't hear anything. You know, the enemy said, this is just wild goose chase. Get to the very last study carol back there. There's two guys, red-haired guy, blonde-haired guy, and they're talking in modulated tones. Well, I knew these guys. We had played flag football together, and so I went up to them. I said, what are you all talking about? One of them, they were talking about the Holy Spirit, talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Neither of them had it. One of them was seemingly open to it. The other one was totally shut. So I knew who to go back with, the red-haired guy, right? So we walk out of the library because it was closing, and I remember having a chance to really try to talk with him and try to really reason with him on things. Some things he was open to a degree. It would be like he would be open, and then he'd be shut. He'd be open, and he'd be shut. And he said to me, he started getting mad, and he just looked at me and he said, if Paul were alive today, he'd thrash you. I said, I don't think he would. You'd like to, you know. But we stayed open. He stayed open to me. And we kept talking about it. And then he got baptized in the Holy Spirit, right? He got filled, man. And then, this is a wild story. He said, Dave, I'm really excited because he said, this summer I'm going to Switzerland. He said, I'm in the Presbyterian choir. I'm going to go to Switzerland and sing. And I went, hey, that's really cool. I said, I wish I could go with you. And I said, well, see, I need to talk to you. He said, yeah, what is it? I said, I just got offered to take a youth group, young people's group in southern New Jersey, not too far from where the seminary was. And the Lord said, it was a big youth group, and I would be with them for the summer and all that. And the Lord said, no, that's not for you. It's for Bob, the red-haired guy. And I told him that. The Holy Spirit told me. He said, well, see, I'm going to Switzerland. I'm thinking, yeah, and I want to go too, you know. I said, look, buddy, all I can tell you is you pray about it. Will you pray about it? And then I'm off the hook. And he said, I promise, I'll pray about it. A couple days later, he comes back. He said, I'm supposed to go to take the youth ministry down there. Praise God. So I'm on my way to New Orleans for the first time. That's where the Holy Spirit directed me for the summer. We come back. We meet each other in the cafeteria there at the seminary. He is on fire. He's saying, God is moving, man. Kids are getting filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm having a big rally tonight. Will you come with me? I said, sure. He said, I met my wife, too. We're going to be married in a couple of months or whatever. And he said, I'm so glad I listened to what you have to say. So we get down there, and it was powerful, man. He was in a Methodist church bringing all this stuff. And he said, we can't pray for him down in the main hall or auditorium. He said, we have to send him to rooms, and then we're going to go into these rooms and lay hands on him. I don't know what the big deal was, but anyway, so we had about three or four pretty large rooms on the upstairs, and we would go from one room to the other laying hands on these kids. And there was a bust out. And Bob said, we're going to meet tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, on the football field. We're going to pray for a mighty move of God on the campus here. And so I had about 50 kids there at 8 o'clock in the morning. We'd join hands, worshiping God, praying, you know. But you have to follow the Holy Spirit, right? Even if it goes against reason. Lean over and tell your neighbor, are you getting this? All right. So number six, last thing. As we purpose to be a witness for the Lord, and we are all called to be that way, right? Jesus will give us boldness to speak for him and will confirm, that's the fill-in, will confirm his word with signs following. Let's look over at Mark 16, closing out. And he said to them, this is Jesus, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. These signs will follow those who believe. Say, that's me. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. If they take up serpents and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Not may, they shall. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere. I love this part. The Lord working with them. And what? Confirming the word through accompanying signs. Amen. So wherever you go, even if you think it is impossible, one last illustration. My good friend Sam Hawkins, and I were asked by Brother Green to go to Phoenix, Arizona. They were having a big conference there, and it was all about Saturday soul saving, going out on Saturdays and witnessing to people and stuff. And so Brother Green said, I want you to go there and bring back the material because we want to start doing that. I said, okay. So Sam and I went there, and they asked both of us, they said, okay, this is the last day of the conference, and it was Saturday, and excuse me. And they said, what would you like to do? Would you rather go door to door, or would you rather street preach? And I said, well, we've done a lot of door to door, so I vote for street preaching. So they took us in the toughest part of Phoenix. You can call it Skid Row. They had a halfway house down there to take care of people they would witness to down there that got saved. So they set us up with one of these street mics, right? And so we're down there. I mean, this is a tough area. So I'm standing there, and I'm saying, Holy Spirit, what am I supposed to talk about here? And immediately he gave me John 10:10. A thief comes but to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come to give you what? Life and life more abundantly. So I said, okay. And the Lord said, you know, no notes, and just wing it. I'll help you. So I start preaching, you know. And, I mean, people are, a lot of them are not happy with that. They're cussing me out and other things. But I noticed there was one guy who was, he was right across the street from me, like where Peter's sitting. He was standing up, and I'm right here, and this guy's right there where Peter is. And so I said, well, I'm just going to preach to him. He's my congregation of one. And so I just treated it like he's the only one I care about right now. Gave the word, ended it, and the guy, he interrupts me, which is good, you know, and he says, you're talking about me, that's me, you're describing who I am. And I said, do you want your life to change now? He said, yes, I do. I said, are you ready to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Yes, I am. So I said, get over here, come across. The altar was the street, right? I said, just come across the street, man. I said, we're here for you. So the guy comes across the street, and the booze, you could just smell it, you know. And anyway, he said the sinner's prayer right there. I told Sam, stand behind him. So Sam stands behind him. We laid hands on him. Pow! Holy Ghost lays him low. He's laying on the street, or on the sidewalk, you know. So we just waited there with him. And then by that time, we started having some workers that were coming by to check on us from the church. And we said, this brother has just given his heart to the Lord. And I said, he obviously the Lord has started deliverance right now for him. So they said, well, we have a halfway house right over here. We will wait with you. And if he's open, then we'll take him right on over. I said, fine. So when he came to himself and we helped him up, he was totally sober. Completely. And you couldn't even smell booze on him. And we said, how did you get here? What happened? And he had been, I think, in the Navajo tribe or something. And then also he started in business. And he developed a really good business and began to go up the ladder and started drinking. And one thing led to another, and he wound up on the street. Lost his family, lost his wife, lost his kids. Just his life was literally being destroyed. And so he hugged us and loved us. He was crying, and we were too, you know. Wow. And so he went to the halfway house. This is, what was his name? Tommy Barnett. Great church there in Phoenix, Arizona. I think his son's has taken it over now. And he said that we teach them, we get them sobered up, we help them get their feet back in help, you know, work and things like that. And we make sure that they're established, and we can bus them into the services and everything. I went, praise God. They're doing it. So, said all that to say this, that Jesus will give us the boldness. As we purpose to be a witness for the Lord, Jesus will give us boldness to speak for him. And that's an amen to what I'm saying. And will confirm his word with signs following the word. Let's stand. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter about anything. Because I may know it's not about you or me. All we have to do is just follow the Lord. Follow him. And he will bring the changes. But we have to be willing to follow him. Right? How many are willing to follow him? Praise God. Listen, it's an exciting life, man. Right? It's exciting. Ina and I definitely didn't go into this for the money. I mean, our first 25 years in ministry, we barely making ends meet, but he took care of us. He made it happen. We were in a big church. It just didn't work. And we were co-pastors and everything. Love the pastor, but we were not in ministry for that. We were in the ministry, bless you. We were in the ministry because God called us there, and we really didn't want to do anything else. So grab somebody's hand. I'm just going to pray for you. Father God, we love you and we thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us. You are truly the faithful God. We thank you for your awesome loving kindness and tender mercies. Lord, we are consumed by your compassion for us. We know, Lord, that our faith is rooted in your love for us and your mercy, O God, that you have shown us. And therefore, we can take what we have received from you and give it out, Lord. And it doesn't depend on how we feel, but all we have to do is be willing, just willing. That's all we need to be. Are we willing? And Lord, we thank you. This is a very fine people. They're very willing people. They love you with all their hearts. We thank you for them in Jesus' name. If you are here and you've never made Christ the Lord of your life, I know most all of you have,